There is only one thing that I can think of that would keep you from this table tonight. And it's summed up in a little word, sin. Am I on? Okay. I was impressed this last week as I was thinking about sin. I started reading, studying the life of Samson. What a loser he was. And just thinking about sin, and you could outline Samson's life. You could say that sin will find you. Sin will bind you. Sin will blind you. And sin will grind you. And there's the whole life of Samson right there. It'll find you. It'll bind you. It'll blind you. And it will grind you. When you think about what sin will do in your life, it hinders, it hurts. And the thought that I learned this last week was sin hunts. Sin will hunt you down. Because while we run away from God in our sin, we find out that sin is actually hunting us. Have you ever read the line, "Be sure your sin will what? Hunt you down. It'll hunt you down." But when God hunts us down, to reveal to us our sin, He does it so that we can know Him, right? So that we can be restored. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, quote this with me, "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, right after that, John writes, if someone says, "I don't have any sin," we deceive ourselves and His truth is not in us. He says in verse 10, if we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar. His truth is not in us. "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." It's as if God put this safety net under us, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we sin, and we know we will, right? Right? Then we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have a go-between. Jesus Christ, the righteous. The only thing that's going to keep you from this table tonight is your sin and your unwillingness to deal with it. Tonight, just prior to coming here, our community group listened to a couple who shared their story with us about how God had been worked in their life, how sin had worked, one individual had allowed sin into their life. And they tried covering it up and everything else, and it just made them miserable. And God used a series of circumstances to bring this person to their wits' end. Literally to their wits' end before they turned back to God. But even that was a grace from God, wasn't it? To bring this person back. This place is supposed to picture the place of restoration. And may it be a place of restoration for you tonight. Some of you here tonight do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's just be really honest. Some of you teenagers over here tonight, look at me, all of you teenagers, look at me. Some of you don't know Christ as your Savior. And your sin will not just separate you from this table. It'll separate you from God for all eternity until you receive His Son, Jesus Christ. I've never had such attentiveness from high schoolers in all of my life. I'm just going to sit there and stare at you for a little while if you don't mind. Some of you who have played church all of your life, and you might not be separated from this table. You're going to go ahead and take these elements tonight, but you're separated from God. And sin will send you to hell until you confess your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. God wants to take your life. Doesn't matter how bad it is. If you're hiding sins, and some of you aren't hiding them so well, why don't you just confess them to God and turn to Him tonight? This morning, and I mentioned in the second service only, we had some very special visitors. Matthew chapter 1, if you want to open your Bibles to it, I just want to just, it's a Christmas text, and I love this pedigree of Jesus, this lineage of Christ, because of these unusual names that you find in here. You find names you expect to find, like David's and Abraham's and Jacob's and Judah's, and you expect to find some of these names, Boaz and Jehoshaphat, Uzziah, Hezekiah, but you don't expect to find Tamar and Rahab and Ruth, and Matthew, under the Spirit of God, can only call her the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba. All of these individuals, Tamar was, you know, prostituted herself. And what she did as an act, Rahab did as a profession. You have Ruth, who was a Moabitess, disdained by Jews, and of course, Bathsheba, who committed adultery with David, and they all find themselves in the line of Christ. That should be really, really encouraging to all of us. And especially to those of you who think, I'm so unworthy, my life is so bad, I'm so sinful, I've done so many terrible things, how could God ever accept me? He will accept you, because He never accepts anybody on the basis of their own personal righteousness anyway. He accepts you on the basis of the righteousness of His Son, Jesus. This morning, I was blessed by my sister-in-law, who is here. I referred to a picture, and now I show you this picture, and you will know that it's a dated one when you look at it. Notice the John Stockton shorts. I think it's probably 1985 or 86, right in there, and that is Linda, at that time, Linda Nemers. She was the wife of my brother Bobby. And if you take a really good look at her face, you can see she is not enjoying this conversation. And she'd tell you that. She gave me this picture today. She carries this picture in her Bible all the time. As a reminder, this is the first time she ever heard a full presentation of the gospel. And I don't even know who snapped the picture. I didn't know anything about this, but my brother Bobby and his wife, their marriage was on the rocks. Unbeknownst to me at the time, she was running around with her high school basketball coach, many years older than her. And my brother Bobby and her had already had a child together. That child was here today. Her name was Courtney. By and by, she divorced my brother Bobby. Left him for this man and broke my brother's heart. It broke all of our hearts because we love Linda. And so she was really blacklisted from the family, not from my perspective, but, you know, my mother, and just, you know, how horrible what she did to my brother was a terrible thing. But the hound of heaven was after her. And so her and her new husband now, her new husband's name was Mike. So Mike and Linda moved into the area of Grundy Center, Iowa, where they ran into my brother Mike and his wife Linda. So Mike and Linda met Mike and Linda. And they began a series of Bible studies. And Linda, now Hearn, repented of her sin and placed her trust in Jesus to be her Savior. And her husband, Mike, had trusted Christ. Listen to this. He had trusted Christ as a Southern Baptist, as a little boy, and was absolutely certain he'd been saved, and knew that all that he was doing was awful in the eyes of God. He was a miserable man. He repented of his sin. They went all over the place getting it right with God. Linda went back to my brother Bobby and confessed her sin to him and asked his forgiveness. My brother Bobby was not a Christian. I believe he became a Christian just a few years ago. And they have an amiable relationship now just because of their daughter and whatnot. But if you knew what I knew, that what she did to my brother was so, so awful. And yet God has so radically changed this woman. She is a passionate follower of Jesus today. Passionate follower. She makes no excuses for her sins. But she's quick to tell you, her sins are forgiven. She has an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And God knows you. And you can run from your sin all you want, but your sin will hunt you down. Lord willing, when it catches up to you, you'll surrender. And you'll recognize the love of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. I know, because he loved me. And I was every bit as bad or worse than Linda. We have a forgiving God. He wants to change your life. He wants you to be open. He wants you to be transparent. He wants you to acknowledge your sinful state. And if you're hiding sin, why don't you put it out in the open, at least before God tonight? Because you can hide it all you want, but your sin will find you out. It'll hunt you down. Know that God, the God of Christmas, who sent his Son, gave us little things like this genealogy with all these names in here as reminders that he loves you too. And it doesn't matter how far away you are from him, you can be brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, as represented in the elements of the juice. The perfect life, as represented in the bread, and the sacrificial death, as represented in the juice, are yours for the taking, these symbols. If you will acknowledge before God that you are a sinner, that you need the gospel, you need the good news, you need the death and resurrection of Jesus in your life. By the way, we all need that. Believer in Jesus, you need to be reminded of your state of forgiveness. And if you have any sin in your life, this is a great time to confess it. Lay it open before him. Will you do that tonight? Let's bow for a word of prayer. And thank God for his great grace, and ready ourselves for the communion table. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity tonight to be able to come to this table representing the perfect life and sacrificial death of Jesus, and our communion, our sharing, our partnership, our fellowship we have with you and with your Son, Jesus. Lord, there's only one thing that would keep us away from this table, and it's sin. Some of us are sinfully separated from you, and we need to repent of our sin and trust Jesus. Some of us know you, but we're far away from you, Lord, and we're proud and We're unwilling to put our sin out there and let you expose it and forgive it by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your persistence in our lives. And we do believe that you who began a good work in us who know Jesus will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We believe that. So may we have a renewed fellowship with you tonight around this table. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.